Chapter 16. I don't have time for this shit. Five wants to meet me at sunset at the Statue of Liberty? It sounds like the plan of some supervillain. He's holding Nine hostage and plans to kill him if I don't show up. I don't know what he wants from me. At the United Nations, it seemed like he was trying to help us in his own psychotic way. At the very least, he stopped me from unintentionally hurting Ella. Of course, he can't possibly know that I'm on the clock here, that every minute wasted on his screwed-up games is a minute not spent helping Sarah, Six, and the others. If he did know, would he even care? I sent Sarah and Mark to Mexico with the newly discovered Lorik hacker-turned-pilot who I'm dying to meet. I sent them there because they're literally the only support I could drum up for Six and the rest of the guard who are in for a major fight. At least they can escape now. They aren't stranded. Six and Sarah are smart enough to cut their losses and get out of there. This is what I keep telling myself. I do a quick mental calculation. Even if Agent Walker could somehow convince the military to loan me one of their fastest fighter jets, I still won't be able to make it to Mexico ahead of Cetricus Ra. Not at this point. That doesn't mean I'm not going to try. Can you at least get me a boat? I ask Walker. Having left the chaos of the docks behind, we're back in the FBI agent's tent.
To take you to the Statue of Liberty?
Walker nods.
Yeah, I can arrange that.
Right now, though, I reply. I want it right now.
Five said sunset. That's still almost an hour away, Sam adds grimly.
I know he's been doing the same mental calculations that I have. He knows we won't make it to the sanctuary. Not unless we leave Nine to whatever fate Five has in store for him, and neither one of us is willing to go down that road. I'm not waiting. We aren't on Five's time. He's probably sitting there right now, setting up a trap or something. Whatever the hell he does, we're going early. If he's not there, then we'll be waiting for the bastard.
Good idea, Sam says, nodding. Let's do it.
Make it happen, I tell Walker and step outside her tent. From here, in Brooklyn Bridge Park, we can see Liberty Island. The green outline of the famous statue is visible against the smoky sky. It won't take us long to get there. From this distance, I can't discern any details. If Five is there, or if he's set up some kind of trap for us, I can't tell. It doesn't really matter. Whatever we find, we're going to face head on. Sam follows me outside.
What are we going to do? He asks me. I mean, with Five.
Whatever we have to, I reply. He falls silent and crosses his arms, also gazing out across the water at the statue.
You know, I always wanted to see the Statue of Liberty,
is all he can think to say. Inside the tent, I can hear Walker doing a lot of yelling into her walkie-talkie. Eventually, she succeeds in commandeering us one of the Coast Guard's speedboats. It doesn't have the artillery of one of the Navy boats I spotted in the harbor, but it'll get us to Liberty Island in a hurry. Walker also puts the call out to her trusted agents, assembling a crew of three guys who I recognize from the Anti-MoGPro task force that helped us go after the Secretary of Defense. I guess they're the ones who survived the battle with Cetricus Ra at the United Nations. One of them is the guy I healed during that first skirmish in Midtown, the one who co-stars in the video Sarah posted all over the internet. He looks almost embarrassed when he shakes my hand.
Agent Murray, he introduces himself. Never got a chance to say thank you for the other day.
Don't worry about it, I tell him, then turn to Agent Walker. We don't need the backup, just the boat.
Sorry, John, can't let you two go out there alone. You're government assets now.
I snort.
Oh, we are.
You are.
I'm not going to waste time arguing about this. They can come if they want. I start towards the docks, Sam next to me, and Walker and her agents fanned out around us like bodyguards. As usual, I get a lot of stares from the soldiers milling around. Some of them look like they want to help, but I'm sure they're under orders not to get involved with us. Agent Walker and what's left of her splinter group of ex-Moog Pro agents are all the help the government's willing to grant us at this point. At least they upgraded their weapons, the agents having traded in their usual standard-issue handguns for some heavy-duty assault rifles.
Hey, John Smith from Mars! Wait up!
I turn in time to see Daniela squeeze her gangly body through a group of soldiers and trot towards us. The agents surrounding us immediately raise their rifles, and, seeing this, Daniela skids to a stop a few yards away and puts her hands up. She eyes the FBI agents with a cocky grin. It's all right, calm down, I tell Walker and her bunch, waving Daniela over. She's one of us. Walker raises an eyebrow.
You mean?
A human guard, I say, keeping my voice low. One of the people Cetricus Raw wants turned over to him. Walker sizes up Daniela.
Great,
she says dryly. Daniela just amps up the wattage on that smirk.
You guys heading off on an adventure or something? Can I come?
I frown at how lightly she's taking this and exchange a look with Sam.
Did you find your mom? Sam asks her, and Daniela's smile falters a bit.
She's not here, and she never checked in with the Red Cross,
Daniela replies, shrugging like it's no big deal. Even though she tries to keep her tone light, her voice is shaky, and I can tell she expects the worst.
Probably got out of the city some other way. I'm sure she's all right.
Yeah, definitely, Sam replies, forcing a smile.
We're on our way to confront a rogue guard, I tell her bluntly. Walker gives me a look, but I see no reason to lie. All hands on deck.
Whoa, you guys, like, go rogue?
I think about Five and how he turned on us, and I think about Cetricus Raw and the uncountable horrible acts he's committed. He used to be a guard, too. Maybe even something higher than that, if Creighton's letter to Ella can be believed. Then I look at Ella and consider her and the other humans with new legacies who we haven't met yet. Will they all fight for good? Or will some of them turn out like Five and Cetricus Raw? We're people, just like anyone else, I tell her.
Except with awesome powers, Sam adds.
Like anyone else, I continue, we can go bad without the proper guidance. Daniela turns on that sly smile again. It's almost infuriating, but I'm starting to realize it's just a defense mechanism. Whenever she feels uncomfortable, she tries really hard to return the favor.
Yeah, got it. You going to be my guide, John Smith? My sensei?
We call them Seipan, actually. Our trainers. But they're gone. Now we pretty much figure stuff out for ourselves. Agent Walker clears her throat. I think she wants me to get rid of Daniela, but I'm not turning away any help. No way. You can come with us, I say. But you should know, the guy we're going after is extremely dangerous.
Unhinged, Sam adds.
He's already killed one of us, I continue. And I don't think he'll hesitate to do it again. When we're done with him, our friend Agent Walker here is going to get us on a plane somehow, and we're going to find a way to kill the Mogadorian in charge before his invasion goes any further.
You trying to scare me off?
Daniela asks, hands on her hips. I just want you to know what you're in for, I reply. Along the way, I can try to help you with your telekinesis, maybe figure out what else you can do. But you've got to be up for it. Daniela looks over her shoulder. I realize that, more than anything, she wants to get out of here. She wants to keep busy and avoid confronting the very real possibility that she lost her entire family during the attack on New York.
I'm in, she says. Let's save the world and shit.
Sam grins, and I can't help but smile a little bit too, especially when I notice Agent Walker rolling her eyes. With Daniela incorporated into our little bubble of secret agents,
We continue on to the pier.
Hey, Sam says to Daniela, keeping his voice low. Just so you know, the Moogs were taking prisoners in New York. They weren't, like, killing everything that moved.
Yeah, I saw them pull that shit in my neighborhood, Daniela replies. So what?
So, just because she's not here doesn't mean your mom's... you know.
Yeah, thanks,
Daniela says this gruffly, but I think she actually means it. The Coast Guard boat is ready and waiting for us, a chain-smoking captain in a wrinkled uniform prepared to take us wherever we need to go. I let Walker fill him in, and a few minutes later, we're off, bouncing hard over the waves. Across the water, I can see flashing lights from the New Jersey side, helicopters bobbing in and out of view. Looks like the military set up a perimeter over there, too. Really trying to make sure the Mogadorians stay contained in Manhattan. I look towards the city and find the place frighteningly calm. There are still Moogs there, I'm sure, patrolling the streets and maybe setting up a stronghold. I hope most of the residents manage to make it across the bridge, and if not, then I hope Sam's right about the Moogs keeping them as prisoners instead of killing them. That means they can still be saved. As Liberty Island grows larger in front of us, Daniela nudges me in the ribs.
You're meeting this dude at the Statue of Liberty?
She asks. Yeah?
Man, that's some real tourist shit.
Pretty soon, we pull up at the Liberty Island docks. A half dozen ferry boats float there, empty, one of them with scorch marks along its side. The entire place is deserted. No one's spending the invasion checking out the Statue of Liberty. It's almost peaceful here. As we hop out of the boat, I try to get the lay of the land. I force myself to think like Five, wondering where the best place for an ambush would be. I have to tilt my head up to take in the statue. We're coming at her from the side holding the book. The gold-plated torch gleams in what's left of the daylight. The big green lady sits atop a huge granite pedestal that in turn sits atop an even bigger stone base that takes up almost half the island. To the right, there's a small park that looks perfectly maintained. He won't be hiding in the park. That's just not how Five operates. The boat captain stays behind, but the rest of us stride along the dock towards the statue. I think about when I first met Five, how he picked some creepy monster monument in the backwoods to reveal himself. I guess the guy has a thing for landmarks. Or maybe that crummy wooden monster statue was a clue, a stand-in for the monster hiding inside Five. If that's the case, I wonder what his choice of the Statue of Liberty means. Probably nothing, I think, reminding myself that Five's a total nutcase. Next to me, Daniela snickers.
You know, I've never actually been here. Lived in the city my whole life.
Yeah, it's like a field trip, Sam says. A field trip where at the end, a dude made of solid steel tries to stab you to death.
No one's getting stabbed to death, I say. As we enter the plaza that stretches around the statue's base, I keep my gaze centered on the upper pedestal. That's where I've decided Five is most likely to be. He can fly, so it'd be easy for him to reach that area, and it would allow him to keep an eye out for our arrival. I don't see any movement up there, though. Maybe he isn't here yet. Or maybe he's hiding inside the statue. I crane my neck more, trying to glimpse inside the statue's crown, but it's impossible. We'll have to go inside to make sure the statue is clear.
Look, Sam says, lowering his voice. Over there.
I turn my head to the left, towards the perfectly sculpted lawn that stretches out from the statue's foundation. There's movement. A glittering shape slowly stands up from the grass and takes a faltering step in our direction. I was looking in the wrong place.
You're early, Five calls. Good.
To say Five looks messed up would be an understatement. His clothes look like they'd gone through a thresher. Ripped, bloodstained, and caked with dirt and ash. His skin is a silvery steel, making me think that he's ready to fight, even though it looks like he can barely stand up. His features look swollen and out of place, despite their metallic coating, his nose crooked, and there are visible dents in the side of his shaved head. He's hunched over, one arm dangling uselessly at his side. His other arm wears that wrist-mounted blade of his. The day's fading sunlight glints off his skin. Immediately, Walker and her team fan out, flanking Five. They've got their guns leveled at him. Daniela goes the opposite way, taking a step behind me.
You should have described this rogue dude better, she says.
Five takes a look at Walker's agents and sneers. Even though he looks worn out, having a bunch of guns pointed at him seems to rekindle his intense temper. His remaining eye tweaks open wider, and he stands up straighter.
"Don't make me laugh with this shit," Five says to Walker,
then turns towards Agent Murray when the man chambers around.
"I'm bulletproof, bitch! Come on, I dare you!"
There's something weird about Five's voice. It sounds tinny and raspy, almost like he's having trouble breathing. The agents are smart enough not to get too close. I know how fast Five is, though. If he wanted to come at one of them, he'd be able to close the gap in a second or two with his flight. I stride forward onto the grass, hoping to get his attention on me before he does anything crazy. Sam stays right at my side, Daniela a few steps behind. That's when I notice the lumpy shape in the grass next to Five. It's one of those blue plastic construction tarps wrapped around what is obviously a body. All of that tightly bound together by thick coils of industrial-strength chain. That must be Nine. "Give him to me," I say to Five, not wasting any time. Five looks down at the body, and it's almost like he'd forgotten it was there.
"Sure, John,"
Five replies. Five bends down and hooks his hands through the chains. He hoists up Nine's body and grimaces. He's hurt and tired, and I can tell this show is taxing him more than he counted on. With an animal grunt, Five tosses the body across the 30 yards that separates us. I catch Nine in midair with my telekinesis and lower him gently to the ground. Immediately I rip off the chains and unroll the tarp. Nine lies unconscious in the grass in front of me. His clothes are in as bad a condition as Five's, and his injuries are similarly gruesome. There are blaster burns on his arms and chest. One of his hands is broken like something crushed it, and there's a bad gash on his head. It's the last thing that really worries me. Blood soaks through Nine's mane of dark hair, a lot of it, and his eyes don't open when I gently slap his cheek. Sam puts a hand on my shoulder. "Is he?"
"Oh, he's fine,"
Five groans, answering Sam's question for me.
"I had to hit him pretty hard to knock him out, though. You'll probably want to get on that, Doc."
I place my hands on the side of Nine's head, but pause before I start healing him. It's going to require my concentration, and that means I won't be able to keep an eye on Five. I look up at him. "You going to do anything stupid?" I ask him. Five holds up his hands, palms out, even though one of his arms won't go as high as the other. Then he flops backwards into a sitting position.
"Don't worry, John. I'm not going to hurt any of your little friends."
All the same, his one eye scans over my crew, sizing each of them up. Five's gaze lingers on Daniela.
"You're no cop," he says. "What's your deal?"
"Don't talk to me, creep," she replies.
"Don't egg him on," Sam says quietly.
Five snorts and shakes his head, more amused than anything. He pinches a handful of grass in front of him. rips it up, and tosses the tuft away with a sigh.
Get on with it, John. I don't have all day.
I'm still wary this is some kind of trap, but I can't put off healing 9 any longer. I press my hands to the side of his head and let my healing energies flow into him. First, the gash on his head closes up. That's just the superficial injury, though. Intuitively, I can feel the deeper, more serious traumas affecting 9. His skull is fractured, and there's some swelling in his brain. I focus my legacy there, although I'm careful not to push in more energy than I need. The brain's a delicate thing, and I don't want to scramble 9's any more than it was before he got his head smashed in. He might still have a concussion when I'm done with him, but at least the most serious damage will be reversed. It takes me a couple of minutes of just concentrating on 9. I'm vaguely aware of the tense silence around me. When I'm finished, I take my hands off his head. The other injuries can wait until we're not in the presence of a total lunatic. 9? 9, wake up, I say, shaking him. After a moment, 9's eyes flutter open. His body tenses, and his eyes dart around wildly. It's like he's expecting to be attacked again. When he recognizes me and Sam, he calms down, and his expression becomes dreamy and out of it. He grabs my arm.
Johnny, I got that son of a bitch. I put one right through him, he mumbles.
Got who? I ask, and get no response. 9's head is already lolling away from me. I can and did heal his injuries, but I can't make him not exhausted from fighting for the last 24 hours straight. He's way out of it. We're probably going to have to carry him. I look up from 9 to see 5 still seated in the grass, watching us. Seeing that 9's out of the woods, 5 begins a slow, sarcastic clap.
Bravo, John, always the hero, he says. What about me?
What about you? I say through clenched teeth.
No, actually, I'd like an answer to that question, too,
Walker says, her gun still trained on 5.
He attacked our soldiers and helped the Mogadorians. He's basically a war criminal. You just want to leave him here? Don't you have some kind of top-secret space prison for evil metal guys?
Daniela whispers to me.
Hell with him, Sam says.
He's the only one who gets that we have more important things to deal with. He waves dismissively at 5 and bends down over 9, trying to help him up.
Come on, John, we gotta get out of here.
I'm about to help Sam when 5 speaks up again.
That's it?
He asks, sounding almost sullen.
You're just going to leave?
I straighten up and glare at him.
What the hell do you want, 5? Do you know how much of our time you've already wasted with your stupid theatrics?
I gesture towards Manhattan, plumes of smoke still rising into the air there.
You're not a priority right now, man. You noticed we're at war, right? You're not so far gone that you missed your old Moog friends killing thousands of people, did you?
5 actually looks towards the city, contemplating the destruction there. His bottom lip juts out.
They aren't my friends, he says quietly.
Yeah. No shit, I reply. Too bad you're only figuring that out now. They used you, 5. And now they don't want you anymore. And neither do we. You're lucky I don't come over there and finish what 9 started. My temper flares as I remember all the crap 5 has pulled in the short time I've known him. In spite of my words, I take a sudden step towards him. Sam puts a hand on my shoulder.
Don't, he says. Let's just go.
I nod, knowing Sam's right. I still have to get a few last shots in, though. I need to get this stuff off my chest. I guess you can be alone now, I say to 5. That's kind of what you wanted all along, isn't it? So,
Go run back to one of your tropical islands and hide. Or whatever it is you want to do. Just stay out of our way and stop wasting our time.
Five looks down at the grass in front of him. You didn't have to come, he says bitterly.
That actually makes me laugh. The sheer insanity of this guy. You made us come here. You said you'd kill 9 if we didn't.
Five's forehead makes a metal clinking noise when he knocks against it, like he's trying to remember something.
That's not what I told those army losers when they found me, he says. I told them you'd get a new scar.
Why are we still talking to him? Sam asks, his voice rising a bit in bewilderment. He leans back down over 9, loops 9's arm over his shoulders, and grunts as he tries to lift him up. 5's single eye holds mine. He's locked in on me, totally ignoring everyone else. I know he's baiting me into something. I just don't know what. Sam's right that we shouldn't be wasting time here, but I can't help myself.
What are you saying?
I ask him grudgingly, knowing that it's exactly what he wants. In response, 5 takes off his shirt. The simple action seems to take a lot of effort, like it's hard for 5 to lift his arms. The shirt snags on something as 5 pulls it over his head and he yelps. It takes me a moment of looking at his chest, metal-plated just like the rest of him, to realize there's something wrong. 5 has a piece of steel sticking out of his sternum. It looks like a broken-off pole from a street sign. He turns to the side slightly so that I can see the jagged other end poking out through his back. Each end comes out only a few inches, and both are twisted and warped, like 5 had to shorten the pole by ripping it with his hands. It's straight through and, at the very least, has to be puncturing one of 5's lungs and part of his spine. The steel pole could even be right up against his heart.
I was already in my metal form when he drove it through me. It didn't stop him, though,
5 explains, wheezing his words a bit. He looks at 9 with something close to admiration.
My instincts kicked in. I used my externa in a way I hadn't before, made the metal part of me. I can feel it cold inside me, 4. It's weird.
5 seems almost casual about this. I take a tentative step towards him and he smiles.
I'm tired, and I can't hold my externa forever,
5 says.
So I wanted it to be up to you. You're the good one, John. The reasonable one. And you were always right in front of me in the order, keeping me alive all those years, whether you knew me or not. So what's it going to be?
I take another cautious step towards him. 5?
Live or die?
5 asks. And then, without warning, he turns himself back into flesh.